Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Suzanne. Just great to hear those words, be inspired with that song. It sticks with you. And we pray that that song sticks with you for the weeks ahead. And also the Easter message. Let's begin with that phrase, Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dear friends, do you have doubts? I have doubts. I'm going to admit that to you. You know, to be a Christian means that you have to actually believe in a whole bunch of amazing happenings and events. Think about this for a moment. To be a Christian means that you believe that God Almighty descended down to earth and became a human. Not just a human, but a baby. A baby that coos and that you can coddle and change their diapers. That's pretty crazy. Now, to be a Christian, it also means that there was a couple. You have to believe in Mary and Joseph. And that this couple that was betrothed together, that they would have a baby, yet the baby would come as Mary was a virgin. Further, to be a Christian means that that baby born to Joseph and Mary would live 30 years, let's say, in a dusty little town that really doesn't have any significance, Nazareth, and that he would take on the trade of being a carpenter, learning the trade of being a carpenter. God becoming a carpenter. That's pretty wild. But more than that, to be a Christian means that at age 30, this carpenter started speaking to demons, started commanding the wind and the waves, started forgiving sins by his own authority. No one had ever done that. And he started to tell dead people to rise and live. It's a high standard. There are a lot of things to believe in as a Christian. But to top it off, to be a Christian means you got to hold on to all the things we're celebrating today. That Jesus died on a Friday. He was placed into a tomb, and on the third day he rose again. But not just that. It means that you believe he's alive today, 2,000 years later. And that he's going to come back and clean up all the messes that we see. Do you have doubts? That's a lot to believe. That's a lot to believe. A lot of that can seem far-fetched. Now, I know as I look out here on Easter Sunday, I'm so thankful because I look out and I know that there are quite a few people that have a rock solid, steady faith that in challenges, those doubts never creep in. But I know that many of you, and I'm going to put myself in that category, I know that for many of you, there are those doubts. There are those questions. When those doubts come, they're questions that come into your life. Maybe one of those questions is what I listed already. The idea that God would actually become a little baby that you can just pick up and hold and cuddle. Maybe that's one of those doubts. Or maybe you're here, Easter 2021, right? And you have doubts because of what has happened this last year. Why did we have the blow up in the family? Why did my work go the way that it did? How could God ever put things back together with all the losses that I've experienced in my life? They've stacked up. How could God turn that around? Perhaps those are your questions or doubts today. We'd like to think that faith is something that is linear, that just goes from a little bit to all the way to a lot, that faith just always goes up. But you know what? Faith, if you really are honest about it, it's like two steps forward, one step back, or maybe some days, two steps backward, one step forward. Now, hear me when I say this. If you are someone who has a lot of doubts or you're a skeptic yourself, that does not mean that you are any less of a Christian. But now listen to what I'm about ready to say. My prayer for you, however, is that your faith journey is like John, the guy that just wrote our text, John chapter 20. He was an eyewitness. Now, if you want to pick up your bulletins and follow along on some of these details, go ahead. Or take the bulletin home and read it again. Verse 8 says, John saw and believed. Now, it doesn't say John. It says the other disciple, but I pointed that out to you as I was reading. That's John. That's who we're talking about. John saw and believed. Now, the word believe occurs 70 times in this gospel, and it means something deep. But do you know when John actually believed? It wasn't when he saw the wedding at Cana and Jesus changed water into wine. That didn't help him out. It didn't move him to belief. It wasn't when he saw Jesus feed 5,000 people. That word doesn't appear in that part of the gospel. It doesn't happen when John sees Jesus walking on the water. It doesn't say that John believed then. And it doesn't say that John believed in Jesus when he first started following Jesus, when he saw Jesus heal a blind man. You see, the moment that it clicked in for John was at the empty tomb. He saw and believed. Mary Magdalene was the first one to the tomb, but she believed the worst. I don't know if you caught it. Mary Magdalene went back to Peter and said, she said basically, boy, they took his body and we don't know where he is. She wasn't moved to belief right away. And Peter, he also went into the tomb. He was second. And it says that when Peter came out, he was bewildered. But do you notice what it says about John? John saw and believed. That's powerful. That word believe is not just a hunch or like, I kind of think I believe, I don't know. Belief here is conviction. That's what this word means. How did John move from all these doubts along the way and questions that he had to a point of conviction and belief here in this text? And how can we be people to live with that same kind of belief and conviction? My friends, I think it starts by putting our weight behind the evidence, putting our entire life behind what is shown to us in the Gospels. I had a friend that I hung out with quite a bit in high school, and we had an interesting experience when we were standing on the side of a river, and we were thinking about crossing it. The top of the river had iced over, and you couldn't tell if it was something to walk on or not. What moved us to belief in that moment, to know that we could go out onto that river and be safe on top of that ice? I can tell you what brought belief. It wasn't a calculator. We didn't pull a calculator out and say, boy, the ice is 2.5 inches thick and we weigh X amount and we're going to be safe. That doesn't cause belief. And what didn't help is mustering more belief inside of us to dig deeper, to believe harder. That didn't work either. Here's what helped. We saw someone else walk out onto the ice, and they put all their weight on the ice. And when we saw that, we had 100% belief and conviction that we could walk out on that ice and believe that we'd be okay. Why did John believe? John finally put all his weight. He put all of himself into the evidence that he saw there at the empty tomb. Here's the evidence. In verse 5, John went in and saw some linen cloths. These linen cloths were wrapped up and kind of sat on the side of that room, in the side of that tomb, very nicely, like you might do your laundry. We also know that Jesus was wrapped up, John's gospel tells us, Jesus was wrapped up with 100 pounds of spices with those linen cloths, all wrapped around the body. But when John went in, he just saw the shroud on one side and the linen cloths on another. And that's when those doubts and questions probably popped in. And John weighed the evidence. Now, grave robbers wouldn't have taken the body and nicely wrapped up the linen cloths on the side. They would have scurried out away, taking the body. John then, I think, looked at the open tomb. Do you know how heavy the stone is in front of that empty tomb? 2,000 pounds. He put all the evidence together. He put all his weight upon that evidence. You see, John came to the understanding that Jesus had done it all. He took the strips, the linen cloths off. He opened the tomb. And at that moment, what an incredible moment for John. John knew that Jesus had done it all, that Jesus was alive. How powerful that was. And that meant for John that everything that Jesus said was true. That Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus would live again, and that he would come and figure out all the messes in life. My friends, today, do you have doubts? Again, you're not any lesser a Christian, but put your weight on the evidence. If Jesus would not have died, or if Jesus had not been raised, I should say, if Jesus was not raised, wouldn't we have been able to have found his body? I mean, think about that. Wouldn't it have been easy for Jesus' enemies to just go to the tomb? It was easy to find. It was right outside Jerusalem. Why didn't they just go to the tomb and say, well, here's the body? Nope. And then 50 days after Easter, think about this. Peter gives a sermon in Jerusalem. And at the end of the sermon, he says, we have all been witnesses. Now, just 50 days after Jesus' death, why didn't Jesus' enemies just say, hey, let's go to the tomb and see if his body's there? They didn't. And then we know that 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. 500. And no one refuted it. Why? Because the evidence was clear. Jesus rose from the dead. Put all your weight on that evidence and truth. And what a difference that makes for our lives. My friends, it's been a tough year. But as tough as it is, Jesus can overcome it all. My friends, there's been a lot of death. Jesus can overcome it all. There's been a lot of fear. Jesus today gives us a hope that we need for the future. There's been a lot of lost purpose. You see what today brings? You have purpose. It's there. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Let me repeat that. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but faith is this: not quitting. And continuing to ask the hard questions. And asking those hard questions, ultimately looking at the evidence. You know, all the evidence that John saw is here for you today. The linen cloths are at the side of the tomb. There is no body. Jesus rose, and he lives again. May we live with that hope. May we live with that conviction this day. Amen. We're now going to continue in our worship service today with a time of prayer. And in our prayers today, we're also just going to uplift a moment of silence. Usually at peace, we have lots of names that we uplift, but we're just going to have a moment of silence because every single person here has something heavy that has had something that's been even heavy this last week. And just think of a name during that moment of silence and place it upon God.